Thank you again for joining us today on The Harvest. We hope that you've had a wonderful day today and that God has been good to you, and I know He has. And so if you're maybe just now tuning in and you want to nudge a friend or two and let them know that the broadcast is on and maybe they can jump on in and be part of this broadcast, I know you're going to enjoy this time together for the next 30 minutes as we continue to hear some great stories about what God has been doing all across the world. God is on the move. His kingdom is being expanded, and we're all part of that in the harvest. And today, I want to welcome to our broadcast some very precious people, some good friends that we've been able to share in ministry over the years. Mitch and Debbie Martinez, who are missionaries to the Dominican Republic. Mitch and Debbie, we welcome you today to the harvest. It's good to have you.
Thank you.
It's a pleasure to be here.
Very good. Well, now, there's some folks that don't really know who you are. Maybe some are familiar with you, but others that are just watching here today that say, well, who are Mitch and Debbie Martinez, and why are they in the Dominican Republic? So tell us a little bit about your ministry there, what's been going on, and fill us in on your life in ministry in the Lord.
Well, we've been in the Dominican Republic since 1992, So we're in our 29th year there. And we began in the city of La Vega working. And we began planting churches, working and planting churches. And then later we moved into education, Christian education. We saw a real need here in this city. It's a city of about 200,000. And then Debbie can share a little bit about what in the last few years where our ministry direction has changed a little bit.
Okay. I just wanted to say that we were in Columbia, South Carolina before we came here. We started a Spanish church called Fuente de Vida. And that's still going strong. We praise the Lord for that. Yeah. And the Lord called us to the mission field, and God has made a way for us to be here. And we're thankful for the support of many people who will pray for us, that come and visit us, that donate so that we can be on the field doing what God has called us to do. So besides planting churches, like Mitch was saying, about 10 years ago, God really burdened my heart to help the Haitian children that live here in the Dominican. It's kind of, at first I just ignored them. And then one day God really spoke to me when I saw so many Haitians on the street. And I kind of complained to the Lord saying, there's so many Haitians around here. And the Lord told me, the immigration situation was the government's concern. It's my job to love my neighbor. I thought, wow. That's right. It's my job to love my neighbor. So I went to a friend's house, a pastor's wife that lives close to where we are now. And there were two little Haitian girls playing with her children. When I asked them where they went to school, they said they didn't have a school to go to. And that just broke my heart, because one of the ministries we've had is to start a Christian school here where there was none in the city of La Vega. And so now I saw these little Haitian kids, losing their years of childhood. I thought, this is not right. And so we started a partner with Haitian pastors who also saw the need in their community. They wanted to do something. And so we've come alongside them to help them start a school and to help provide a small offering for their teachers so they can, pay their rent and buy their food. And right now we have like 800 children enrolled in 14 different schools.
Wow.
In and around the La Vega area.
Well, now, so let me just help the viewers to understand the dynamics of why there's so many Haitian children in La Vega. So you know the geography of the Dominican Republic. It's actually on the island of Dominica. Is that correct?
Hispaniola.
Hispaniola, okay. And so that island of Hispaniola is divided into two countries, one being the Dominican Republic and one being Haiti. And La Vega is located real close to the border. Is that correct?
Not that close.
Maybe about 3-4 hours.
So it's close enough to where you're getting a large influx of Haitians coming over. Why are there so many people coming to La Vega from Haiti?
Well, there's a lot of agriculture here, and a lot of people that work in agriculture are Haitian, and also a lot of construction. And people come because they're hungry. They're looking for a better life.
Wow.
Right now they're fleeing the violence and just general disorder that's happening in Haiti. There's a lot of kidnappings, and it's a dangerous place.
And the Haitians are treated as second-class citizens in the Dominican Republic. Is that right? So that's why that's why there's such a need there. Is that correct?
Right.
Yeah.
And tell them about how the schools, like the public schools.
Well, the public schools are overcrowded as it is with Dominican children. Mm-hmm. so that, you know, they don't have the space for the Haitian children too. So the Haitian children are missing out on an education. And they don't speak Spanish, so even if they went, it would be very difficult for
especially
them.
When they first get here.
And oftentimes, they don't have the legal paperwork they need to get into the schools.
Got it.
So, you know, we realize, you know, these kids are, what's happening to them? They're going to end up closed up in their homes, or they're going to be running wild in the streets, or the parents are going to pull them along and take them to the fields and make them work the fields right. with them.
I don't know. To me, it's such a crime against humanity for children to go without an education.
Sure. So, yeah. And, you know, the thing is, and I just, as a, just a little little insight to those that are viewing, our church, I along with several others from our church, actually came to the Dominican Republic a couple of years ago to minister with you guys, partner alongside you guys, do some vacation Bible schools and outreach. We did a little bit of light construction. But one of the areas that spoke so deeply to my heart was that we actually did go into some of those Haitian congregations and areas, and we actually went to one of the schools that they were building, and we, I don't know if you remember, we did a VBS there that day, and while we were doing VBS on one side of the campus, not a big campus, but kind of the back part of the church, on the other side, there was some people that were bringing in the cinder blocks and kind of digging some footers and all, and they were building, what was that, the school? Was that the church?
That's the school, yeah. Okay. Actually, there's four classrooms. The pastor moved into one of the classrooms with his family of three children.
Okay.
And the other classrooms are being used by the school's children. And there's a nice kitchen in the back and good bathrooms.
Yeah.
Even though our public schools here and our Christian schools aren't, they're still virtual. A lot of the Haitian schools have started back up, and that's one of them. And they're cooking now for the children and providing hot meals for them.
So what I remember, and just maybe flesh this out a little bit, because I remember we took a tour at one day that was, I think, real close to that school, that we walked through a particular, almost like a little lean-to sort of community that right. It was, I mean, rough. I mean, it was like dirt floors and kind of metal roofs and tin roofs sort of thing, and like just rough. And yeah. And that was where they live, those kids.
Yeah.
And then they would come to school. And my understanding is that really, if they were going to get a good meal, it was going to be at the school, not necessarily right. at their house. But yeah. What really impressed me about that is, as much of a, what I would call, at least from the United States levels of living, it was squalor. It was just absolute squalor. But those kids would come with a clean dress and a clean outfit with their hair done, and they were clean. They were so precious, and I was saying this before we actually started the broadcast, how, I don't know, there's just something so sweet about these kids. My heart just went out to them and just loved on them. I remember we were doing some face painting with some of them, and so they would be really close to me as I was doing face painting. As I was painting their faces, you know, I was just real close to them, and I just began to just look at them like Jesus saw them, you know, and my heart just began to just have such a compassion for those kids. And I just loved them so much and thought, oh, Jesus, just be with these precious children. And what you guys are doing there is you're not only giving them an education, you're not only feeding them a necessary meal, but you're sharing Jesus Christ with them.
Absolutely.
I mean, do you have any stories that you can tell of maybe lives that have been changed through this?
Well, I want to say that, well, let me think of more things. I want to say that one of our joys has been to provide Bibles. And there's such a hunger for the Word of God.
Mm.
And we were able to get some Life for the Lost funds, and we bought New Testaments, we bought Bibles, even their hymn books. They are so happy to have a hymn book and to worship. And to see these children and the adults and all the men, I think you might have remembered all the men in church.
Absolutely. And the men would sit on one side and the women would sit on the other. I thought that was interesting.
Yeah, that's kind of the old-fashioned way of doing things.
Yeah. It was great.
But it still happens. And we were just there a couple months ago at that church. That's Pastor Alex. And actually, that church was built with some folks from Greenville.
Is that right?
Yeah.
See, now that's the thing. These cinder block church, and by the way, what they were building, that school, I want to also help people to understand here in the United States that are watching this. I mean, it wasn't like it was air conditioned with drywall and carpet and all that. I mean, it was cinder block and concrete floors, And that's kind of it. You know, it was just, it's nothing fancy.
No frills.
No frills. And, but yet, boy, they were so, they're so happy and they're content. And there was such a sweet love of the Lord that was among the people that were there. Oh, I just loved, I loved it there. I tell you what, once we got off of the plane in Miami and flew to Dominican Republic, we had a day or two to kind of detox of all the busyness, and I got used to it. And when we got back to Miami and we got off that plane at the airport, it got busy again. I went, oh, yeah, I forgot. And I kind of wanted to go back to the Dominican Republic because it was just such a sweetness and a relaxed love that was there, presence of the Lord. I thought it was wonderful. You got any stories that you can tell the folks that maybe give them an idea of what's been going on there? Lives that are changed?
Well, golly, where do we start, Mitch?
What comes to your mind?
Well, maybe you can think of something, but my focus the last few years has been more on construction, you know, making sure these projects get done. And, you know, if you could imagine, like, the Kutupu project, which we just finished last year, you probably saw that too. We had 130 kids in a building that was only maybe
it was worse than a garage.
15 foot wide by 50 foot long. 130 kids, no bathroom.
A room like right here, so hot you could hardly stand it. Yet those kids would come day after day. The teachers would sacrifice. I, as a teacher, thought, you know, this is just too uncomfortable for me. I always felt like I was fainting from the heat. But the desire to learn, the desire to be in a place where you know you are loved, that your friends are there, that people are teaching you the word of God, and they're singing songs, they're dancing. It's so beautiful.
Yeah, you know, and there was this one Haitian school, but also, if I remember right, you also took us to another school that was quite large. Is that what is that school all about? Is that the Christian school that you guys have been talking about?
Christian school?
Oh, that's the Dominican
school. Yeah, we're in our 22nd year now.
That was a fantastic facility. I know that lives are being changed there. 22 years you've been there, so that means that those that were kids at one point are now grown-ups and possibly even have some kids.
They have their children there. They do, yes.
So isn't that cool to see it come full circle like that, huh?
Yes, and some of our former students are teachers and English teachers, so that's pretty exciting.
Yeah.
And I come to realize that when we started that school, it wasn't just children we were impacting, but all the teachers. We have a new guy in charge of human resources, and he was going through the folders. He found 365 teachers that have been through our school. And one time a teacher said, you know, because I always feel bad when somebody leaves to go work in the public sector, you know, because they do get paid more. And, you know, you train somebody up and you love them. And it's, you know, like a pastor of a church. You hate to see people leave, but you love them. You know?
Sure.
And but she said, you need to think of it this way. You are preparing people for the mission field. You are sending them out.
Wow.
And so that gave me a whole different way of looking at it. A lot of these teachers that we trained are now out in the public sector working, and you know, they're praying in the morning, they're reading the Bible with their students, they're loving those kids with the love of God, and it's going all throughout even the public school system. And there's a lot more freedom here than maybe in the States.
Oh,
to preach the word. And actually there's a law that the Bible should be read in school.
Wow.
Yes, there's a law, but it's up to the teacher to read it, you know.
But I like that law. It's a good law. I think we got a law just the opposite here in the United States. They cannot be read. So there's a lot of success stories here, and there's a lot of wonderful things that are happening, but certainly it hasn't all been a breeze. What have been some challenges that you guys have faced over the years, and what have you learned from it?
Well, that's a good one. Well, this whole year has been a challenge because we had to go right into virtual learning.
Yeah.
They made an excuse last March that we were having to clean the schools. We thought, clean the schools, I think we better start training our teachers to get online. And so we've been able to do that. And that was a big step. I mean, I was home the first 2 weeks of the, you know, the big shutdown. Then I started going to school. First of all, I have air conditioning in my office, but not in my house. So that was nice to go into the office. But to get ready and to see how our teachers have ramped it up, and It's not without stress. I'll say that. It hasn't been without stress.
Sure.
It's been a big learning curve for those teachers. I mean, there was one teacher, she didn't even know what a mouse was, you know? I'm not talking about a rodent.
Yeah. No, at least not that kind of mouse, right?
So it's a big learning curve, but they've really jumped in and they have learned and they have grown. And we probably have one of the best programs in the city right now, according to what everybody's telling you.
Yeah. Has there ever been a time in these 29 years that you've been there that you've looked at each other and said, you know what, I think we're kind of discouraged here. I think we need to consider something else. Has there ever been a time that you just kind of said, I'm not sure this is something we can keep going to do?
Well, I think one of the devil's good strategies is to discourage people.
Sure.
No.
Well, what do you do during those times? I mean, talk to people that are watching here today, Mitch and Debbie, where maybe they're facing some sort of discouragement in their life where, you know, maybe they're not in a foreign country and having to deal with the laws of that country to figure out even how to build a building or the things that you guys are doing to work through. But how do you encourage people that might be dealing with some sort of discouragement to not give up?
Well, I would say, first of all, there's the Word of God. I mean, okay. It sounds like an old-fashioned answer, but it's a good answer because the Word of God is alive and powerful. And so many times you can pick up the Bible and the verse that you're reading or the chapter you're reading will speak directly to your situation, exactly what you need at the time. So no, I never discount the Word of God. We need that more in our lives. I'm so thankful for all these new programs on my cell phone. You know, yeah. I have the Bible app. I can listen to it.
Sure.
I get on that Bible Gateway and I compare versions. One of the new things we've been doing during this time is I've been doing a daily devotion. I send it out in Spanish. I got like 400 people that are listening to it. And that has been exciting for me to do something different during this time when we've had to kind of reinvent ourselves.
Sure.
But you know, time of discouragement, sometimes Mitch says, we're just going to go to the beach for 2 days. You know?
Yeah.
I believe that God allows us to rest and to, you know, get recharge the batteries and thank God for a few friends. And
you know, I was thinking about some of the challenges with our school. You know, the first year that we started the school, our daughter who was here teaching was in a car accident and died, you know, and it was like in February and we had to decide to continue or not. And so, you know, we just felt like we had to continue. And so that was challenging. Then like the next year or a year or two later, you know, we had a security guard who was murdered on our campus. And, you know, all the Dominicans were like, what's going on with these, you know, foreigners? Why is this happening?
Yeah, what kind of school is that
over
there?
a young girl kidnapped on her way to our school. We had, you know, we had a pastor run off with a teenage girl in our school, you know, picked her up at the school and took off. You know? I hate to mention that, but these are challenges, you know, and you have to deal with them and go to God and God helped us through all of this, you know.
Well, every single one of those instances was an opportunity for you to either say, I've had it, I'm done, or Lord, I give this to you and I'm going to trust you with it.
It might seem like you lose a battle here or there. And I think in ministry, it's like that. You know, it's kind of like two steps forward, one step back.
That's the way it is in life, actually, you know, really, in your walk with the Lord. So
everything you touch turns to gold, you know. Every life you minister to comes out perfect. There's always struggles in life.
Sure. But
Jesus gives us the victory.
If you endure through those hardships, place your faith in the Lord, rest in Him, get His word in your heart and let it encourage you. Let Him be your strength. Let the Lord be your strength. And sometimes it really is easy to bail out, isn't it? It's really easier to bail out with anything, just to say, I'm done. But to walk through it and to let the Lord carry you through it, and you see it on the back end where God has been faithful, where some good has come out of it, where if you hadn't have, then you wouldn't have seen the results of God bringing some good out of it. Boy, there's something to say about just seeing things through, right?
That's where you grow. You grow the most in your trials.
And yeah.
Just those times that draw you closer to the Lord. And amen. Talk about the Lord being our strength. The joy of the Lord is our strength.
Amen. You know, and that's more than a cliche. That's a promise in God's word.
That's right.
But we have to apply that, you know? And so often I think we choose to let flesh rule us, depression, anger, unforgiveness, circumstances that just come in and just invade us and we get anxious and all that. But boy, we have to make a conscious effort, don't we, to say, I'm going to let the joy of the Lord be my strength. I'm going to let God's word be my foundation. I'm going to let his peace rule my heart and my mind. And on we go. Yeah. You guys said something, Mitch, you said something a little bit ago that I want to circle back around to as we kind of move forward here. We got about another 10 minutes or so, but I think there's some people that are watching here today that maybe have lost a loved one. I just sat there when you said that about your daughter dying in a car accident, I guess some 29 years ago now, huh? How old was she?
Yeah.
She was
going to be 21 in 2 weeks.
And so there's some people that are watching here today where they've lost a loved one. Maybe they've lost a child, a spouse. Can you speak to them as to how you were able to get through that and maybe help some folks that might be struggling right now with that?
My first thought is, you know, I had never been faced with a loss growing up in my family like that. My grandparents, I hardly knew them, and they were far away when they passed away. And so, you know, it really hit me. It hit me hard. And I realized that the reason we feel so sad and why it hurts so much is because we love the person so much, you know, just that, maybe that may be an encouragement to some, you know?
Yeah. So that sadness is not coming. That sadness is coming from the depth of love that you feel for them. That's a good insight actually. Well, how did the Lord help you through both of you through that loss, especially fresh into ministry? I mean, I guess you had just moved to the Dominican Republic just months before.
No, it was our second term.
Okay. But you were there far away. Was she there in Dominican Republic when that took place?
Yeah, she was working with
us. She was helping us in the school. It was the first year we started the school.
How did you continue on in ministry? There's people that are watching and say, how do you go on with life? How do you go on even putting one step in front of the other and dealing with this when my child is gone from me and or my spouse is gone from me? How did you guys do that? How can you speak to people and encourage them?
Well, some say that can tear a marriage apart.
Yeah. You know?
And even while Ruthie was in the hospital for 3 weeks, and we had so many people, we had up to 100 people a day come and visit us at the hospital and encourage us.
Okay.
And after she died, people came to visit. And I since realized how important it is that if like someone in your congregation, one of your friends, it's not just the pastor's job to go visit. It's everybody's job.
Amen.
In a church family to support one another. And even if you don't know what to say, just be there or send a card. Let that person know you're thinking. Because that really strengthened us a lot. And I'll be honest. I mean, I was depressed. I would work in the morning at school trying to get my kids caught up. And then I'd go home and lie in bed, just stare out the window. Until like a week later, my younger daughter said, Mom, remember, you have 4 other kids here. And I had to wake up. You know, I had to help take care of them.
Sure.
You know, it's something that you don't get over in a week or a month or a year. It's always a part of you. It's kind of like when I became a mother, I realized I was part of a great fellowship of women everywhere who were mothers, starting back from Eve. And now I'm part of another club, you know, that club of people who have lost a child.
Wow.
If anything, heaven is closer. You know, sure. I had to realize that I couldn't protect my daughter. I couldn't keep her safe. Only God could do that. And maybe it's all our dream to die in our sleep when we're 99 years old after a fruitful life. But we don't really have control of that. God is the one that makes those decisions.
Yeah.
And I could, you know, I can't always understand God, but I can trust God.
Wow.
And I know that His way is love. I don't have to understand everything He does. You know, but I can trust Him.
You know, there's people that are viewing here today, and I so appreciate you sharing not only your heart, but the wisdom from your experience of losing a loved one. And I believe there's people here today, as we start to conclude our time together, I feel like there's some folks that are watching here today that we really just need to pray for them. They're dealing with a loss, and it could be a divorce, which sometimes they say divorce is even harder than death, because divorce is almost like a death, but you know they're still alive. That separation's still there, but they're still alive. So there's not like a finality to that. But so there's this. Let's just say it's a loss, whatever it would be, death or divorce or whatever.
Grieve, that's for sure.
Yeah, that grieving process and all of that confusion really that rushes in, and that sense of what do I do now? And I think there's some people out there that are struggling right now to get their footing in this new experience in their lives that is really devastating to them. And I would just, from y'all's experience and from your compassion to be able to connect with them, I would love for you to pray. By the way, ministry, and we're talking about ministry, we're talking about Dominican Republic and all the beautiful kids and from the Haitian children, the schools and the beautiful Dominican kids that are there and all that you've been doing over the years. But ministry is not just... And missions is not just going overseas. It's also, there's ministry that takes place in our communities where it could be like divorce recovery or grieving, you know, being able to minister to people that are in grieving because of a loss. And so that's missions as well. That's ministry as well. And so maybe even as you're watching here today, you know, you've lived that. You experienced it like what Mitch and Debbie have. And there's an opportunity that you have to not just say, hey, I read it in a book, so let me minister to you. No, you can say, I actually experienced that. Let me tell you how God brought me through. And so that's what missions is. That's what the kingdom of God is all about. And Mitch and Debbie, would you just in these next few minutes here as we wrap this up, pray for these folks that maybe are going through some hard times right now in that grieving process, or maybe those that have been called to be part of helping people along that have experienced that as well and what God's called them to do. I would love for you all to bow your heads in prayer right now as Mitch and Debbie lead us in prayer for you. Let's pray together.
Lord, we are so thankful, God, that we can take all our cares to you, God,
Yes. Because
you care for us, Lord. Anything that's important to us, God, I know that is important to you. I pray especially right now for anyone who is feeling a sadness or grief, Lord, for the loss of a loved one, God. I pray that you will bring strength and comfort to their hearts, Lord.
Yes.
I pray, God, that they will sense your love, God.
Yes.
And that their faith will rise and their trust will rise, God. And they will know that you are walking with them and that you'll walk through this with them, God. And they'll come out, they will come out shining, Lord, on the other side, God. Thank you, Lord.
Lord, we just thank you for every experience that you bring into our lives, Lord, that allows us to draw closer to you, knowing that you love us, that you care about every situation in our lives. And I just pray for anyone right now who is just feeling very discouraged or downtrodden or disheartened, oh God. I just pray that you would open the door of their heart and their mind to receive your word, receive the comfort that only you can give. I just pray, Lord Jesus, that you would be so real to that person, to everyone that's listening even right now, with Jesus, you'd be so real to us and help us know how we can minister to one another, how we can love better, that our love can be deeper and stronger, that we can minister one to another and build up the kingdom of God, with Jesus. You said that we can comfort others with the comfort that we've received from you. And I just want to thank you from the bottom of my heart for the comfort that we have received from you and the strength that you give us each and every day to wake up and praise you and come before you and to give our lives to you, Lord,
Yes. Knowing
that nothing is in vain, that all things work for good for those that love God according to his purpose, knowing that you have never forsaken us, you haven't forgotten us, but you are with us each and every day. In Jesus' name.
Amen. And Lord, as we conclude this time together, we just, all of us that are watching this broadcast, extend our hearts and prayers out to Mitch and Debbie as they continue to till the soil, plant the seeds, and water those seeds and minister to those folks that are in La Vega, they're in the Dominican Republic. God, I pray that you would just continue to expand their effectiveness, increase their opportunities, and that you would bring and anoint them, Holy Spirit, with your power and with your wisdom and with your discernment. And God, that they would just continue to walk and work in accordance to what you have for them there where you've planted them. Give them favor, Lord God. Provide for their needs, Lord God. Protect them, we pray, in every way, and bring them workers and in every possible way, Lord God, supply their need so that they can fulfill what you've called them to do there in the Dominican Republic. We thank you for their lives and for their ministry. And we thank you for this time that we've had together today. We pray these things, Jesus, in your name. Amen. Amen. Well, so Mitch and Debbie have a link to that we're going to show right now here at the bottom of our screen. If you want to know more, some more information about what's going on in the Dominican Republic, how you can maybe partner with them, help them out, or some way to just find out more about what's going on there, please click on that link, and they'll be happy to even reach out to you and respond in whatever way, and just be a blessing to you, so that you can also be a blessing to them. I tell you what. That is good soil. I can speak personally, the Dominican Republic and what Mitch and Debbie are doing there is excellent soil for you to sow whatever it is that you want to sow into. And I'm so honored to be able to be part of their ministry. We look forward to going back sometime. Mitch and Debbie, thank you for joining us today and for sharing your heart and for just spending some time with us. It's been great to talk with you, and I hope that you'll come back again and be with us on our broadcast of The Harvest. God bless you guys. And thank you all for tuning in today, everybody that is viewing. We hope that you'll join us again the next time as we gather together for The Harvest. Until then, God bless you and have a wonderful, wonderful day in the Lord.